Blog Talk Radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Podcast family, welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition, with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. I am Nurse Carmen, and again, we thank you for tuning in. Next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in. Tonight, the question was asked, what if what we want is not for us, not for our own good, not in our best interest? Then God won't give it to us, right? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that you're wrong. God will give you whatever you call forth, whether it's good for you or bad for you. Now, really, haven't we all had a look at our life lately? Yeah, but I've been taught that what we can't always have what we desire, that God won't give it to us if it's not for our highest good. But I want you to know that that's something people tell you when they want you not to be disappointed with a particular outcome. First of all, you have to understand, God doesn't give you anything. You call it forth. Secondly, God don't make a judgment about what you call forth. God doesn't call a thing good or bad. And honestly, it would be better if we didn't do so either. We are creative beings made in the image and likeness of God. So you may have whatever you choose, but you may not have anything you want. In fact, you never get anything you want if you want it badly enough. And that's because the act of wanting a thing pushes it away from you. And that's because thoughts are creative. And the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of a truth, which the universe then produces in your reality. That's how it works. The moment you say, I want something, the universe says, indeed you do, and gives you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. Whatever you put forth after the word I becomes your creative command, the genie in the bottle, which God is, exists but to obey. So God produces what you call forth. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. It's as simple as that. So wait, so you're why does it take so much time for you to create the reality that you choose? It's for a number of reasons. Because you do not believe you can have what you choose. Because you do not know what to choose. Because you keep trying to figure out what's best for you. Because you want guarantees ahead of time that all your choices will be good. And because you keep changing your mind. You're probably saying, so what, I shouldn't try to figure out what's best for me? But best is a relative term, depending on 100 variables. That makes choices very difficult. There should be only one consideration when making a decision. Is this a statement of who I am? Is this an announcement of who I choose to be? All of life should be such an announcement. In fact, all of life is. You can allow that announcement to be made by chance or by choice. A life lived by choice is a life of conscious actions. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reactions. Reactions is just that, an action you have taken before. When you react, what you do is assess the incoming data, search your memory banks for the same or nearly the same experience, and act the way you did before. This is all the work of the mind, not your soul. Your soul would have you search its memory to see how you might create a truly genuine experience of you in the now moment. This is the experience of soul searching, of which you have so often heard, but you have to be literally out of your mind to do it. When you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, you are doing just that, spending your time. Better to save your time than to spend it wastefully. It is a great time saver to be out of your mind. Decisions are reached quickly. Choices are activated rapidly because your soul creates out of present experience only, without review, analysis, and criticisms of past encounters. Remember this. The soul creates. The mind reacts. The soul knows in its wisdom that the experience you are having in this moment is an experience sent to you by God before you had any conscious awareness of it. This is what is meant by a pre-sent experience. It's already on the way to you even as you are seeking it. For even before you ask, God shall have answered you. Every now moment is a glorious gift from God. That's why it's called the present. The soul intuitively seeks the perfect circumstances and situations are now needed to heal wrong thoughts and bring you the right experience of who you really are. It is the soul's desire to bring you back to God, to bring you home. It is the soul's intention to know itself experientially, and thus to know God. For the soul understands that you and God are one. Even as the mind denies this truth and the body acts out this denial, therefore, in a moment of great decision, be out of your mind and do some soul searching instead. The soul understands what the mind cannot conceive. If you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, your choices will be cautious, your decisions will take forever, and your journey will be launched on a sea of expectations. And if you're not careful, you will drown in your expectations. Then you might say, but how do I listen to my soul? How do I know what I'm hearing? The soul speaks to you in feelings. Listen to your feelings. Follow your feelings. Honor your feelings. So why does it seem that honoring one's feeling is precisely what caused one to get into trouble in the first place? Because you have labeled growth trouble and standing still safe. Let me repeat that again. Because you've labeled growth trouble and standing still safe. So what that's really saying, what we're saying to you is that a lot of things that you're involved in or that happen, you label it as trouble when it's not trouble. I'll tell you this. Your feelings will never get you into trouble because your feelings are your truth. If you want to live a life where you never follow your feelings, but where every feeling is filtered through the machinery of your mind, go right ahead. Make your decisions based on your mind's analysis of the situation. But don't look for joy in such mechanicism, nor for celebration of who you truly are. Remember this, the true celebration is mindless. If you listen to your soul, you will know what is best for you because what is best for you is what is true for you. When you act out of what is true for you, you speed your way down the path. When you create an experience based on your now truth rather than react to an experience based on a past truth, you produce a new you. Why does it take so much time to create the reality you choose? This is why, because you have not been living your truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yet, once you come to know your truth, don't keep changing your mind about it. This is your mind trying to figure out what's best. Stop it. Get out of your mind. Get back to your senses. This is what is meant by getting back to your senses. It is a returning to how you feel, not how you think. Your thoughts are just that, thoughts, mental constructions, made up creations of your mind. But your feelings, now they are real. Feelings are the language of the soul, and your soul is your truth. Now, I hope that kind of tied it together a little bit. But then they say, does this mean we are to express any feelings, no matter how negative or destructive? Feelings are neither negative or destructive. They are simply truths. How you express your truth is what matters. When you express your truth with love, negative and damaging results rarely occur. When you express your truth with love, negative and damaging results rarely occur. And when they do, it is usually because someone else has chosen to experience your truth in a negative or damaging way. In such a case, there is probably nothing you can do to avoid the outcome. Certainly, failing to express your truth would hardly be appropriate. Yet, people do this all the time. So afraid are they to cause or to face possible unpleasantness that they hide their truth altogether. Remember this, it is not nearly so important how well a message is received as how well it is sent. You cannot take responsibility for how well another accepts your truth. You can only ensure how well it is communicated. And by how well, I don't mean merely how clearly. I mean how lovingly, how compassionately, how sensitively, how courageously, and how complete. This leaves no room for half-truth. The brutal truth, or even the plain truth. It does mean the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. It is the so help you God part that brings in the godly qualities of love and compassion. For God will help you communicate in this way always if you ask God. So yes, express what you call the most negative feelings, but not destructively. Failure to express, i.e. push out, negative feelings do not make them go away. It keeps them in. Negativity keeps in, harms the body, and burdens the soul. Then you say, but if another person hears every negative thought you have about that person, it would have to affect the relationship, no matter how lovingly those thoughts were delivered. Now, remember, I said to express, push out, get rid of your negative feelings. I did not say how or to whom. All negativity need not be shared with the person about whom it's felt. Let's try that again. All negativity need not be shared with the person about whom it is felt. It is only necessary to communicate these feelings to the other when failure to do so would compromise your integrity or cause another to believe an untruth. Negativity is never a sign of ultimate truth, even if it seems like your truth at the moment. It may rise out of an unhealed part of you. In fact, it always does. This is why it is so important to get those negativities out, to release them. Only by letting go of them, putting them out there, facing them in front of you, can you see them clearly enough to know whether you really believe them. You have all said things, ugly things, only to discover that once having been said, they no longer feel true. You have all expressed feelings, excuse me, from fear to anger to rage, only to discover that once having been expressed, they no longer reveal how you really feel. In this way, feelings can be tricky. Feelings are the language of the soul, but you must make sure you are listening to your true feelings and not some counterfeit model constructed in your mind. Because some feelings are true feelings. This is feelings born in the soul. And some feelings are counterfeit feelings. These are constructed in your mind. In other words, they are not feelings at all, thoughts masquerading as feelings. These thoughts are based on your previous experience and on the observed experience of others. You see someone grimace when you have a tooth pulled. You grimace when having your tooth pulled. It may not even hurt, but you grimace anyway. Your reaction has nothing to do with reality, only how you perceive reality based on the experience of others or on something that's happened to you in the past. The greatest challenge as human beings is to be here now, to stop making things up, stop creating thoughts about a present moment, a moment you sent yourself before you had a thought about it. Be in the moment. Remember, you sent yourself this moment as a gift. The moment contains the seed of a tremendous truth. It is a truth you wish to remember. Yet when the moment arrives, you immediately begin constructing thoughts about it. Instead of being in the moment, you stood outside the moment and judged it. Then you reacted. That is, you acted as you did once before. We've been over numerous podcasts, the two words reactive and creative. We've been over that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you see, the point I'm trying to make is that when you come to each moment cleanly, without a previous thought about it, you can create who you are rather than reenact who you once were. Life is a process of creation, and you keep living it as if it were a process of reenactment. Then you say, but how can any rational human being ignore one previous experience in the moment? Something occurred. Isn't it normal to call up everything you know on the subject and respond for that? And I say, it may be normal, but it's not natural. Normal means something usually done. Natural is how you are when you're not trying to be normal. Natural and normal are not the same thing. In any given moment, you can do what you normally do, or you can do what comes naturally. I tell you this, nothing is more natural than love. If you act lovingly, you will be acting naturally. If you react fearfully, resentful, angry, you may be acting normally, but you will never be acting naturally. Well, how can I act with love when all my previous experience is screaming at me that a particular moment is likely to be painful? Ignore your previous experiences and go into the moment. Be here now. See what there is to work with right now in creating yourself anew. Remember, this is what you are doing here. You have come to this world in this way, at this time, in this place, to know who you are and to create who you wish to be. This is the purpose of all of life. Life is an ongoing, never-ending process of recreation. You keep recreating yourselves in the image of your next highest idea about yourself. Then we have to understand that we are more than what we think we are. We have to understand who we are. And then when we understand who we are, then we can start creating ourselves anew. And Brother Paul, and this is what I mean when I say a lot of things that are written down in the Bible, it's there for you to see, but we're always looking at it from another perspective from which someone told us many, many years ago. Instead of letting the Spirit lead you, you've already got that preconceived notion of what it is that is being said. But Paul said it. Paul said, we have to renew our minds. way we used to think, we can't think that way anymore. The way we used to act, we can't act that way anymore. It's a renewing of ourselves. And this is part of the baffling part for me, because especially because I know Christianity. Christianity is always talking about being born again. But unfortunately, the way they call being born again, all they're referring to now is pretty much carrying a Bible. Because they're technically the same person in sheep's clothing. There's a song that says, things I used to do, I don't do anymore. See, but what we've done is we've taken that to mean, when I used to dance, I don't dance anymore. You think God cares if you dance to any kind of music? Do you really think that that matters to God? You don't think God had a part in that voice that Michael Jackson had? You don't think God had a part in that, that soulful singing of B.B. King? You don't think God was nowhere in the midst there? God doesn't care about that. We've made that an issue for God, but God doesn't have an issue with that. And if you stop and think about it, think about some of the things which we've labeled offends God, and it pretty much cuts out 3/4 of what it is that you can do. And that's not to say that you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. It is totally up to you. Do some soul searching. But when you do the soul searching, don't allow your mind to come in and recreate what the soul has already created. This is what's preventing us from moving further in our walk, because we keep relying on past experiences to be our guide, to tell us whether that's right or wrong, instead of listening to the soul. The soul will never, ever, ever tell you wrong. You may lie to any and everybody, but you can't lie to yourself. And your soul has no desire to lie to you, because your soul knows that you and God are one. And the soul's journey is to get you and God, for you to understand that. When I say you and God, it's also important that you understand that this, it's all part of life. So with you and God becoming one doesn't necessarily mean the end of this life here. It just means a so much less complicated life, because you can see past all the trees and stuff, and you know the deal. Not somebody told you, but you know. Because when you know that you know, nothing else anybody can tell you. So it's important for us to really do some soul searching so that we know who we are. And then once we know who we are, starting as you are. You are part of the body of God. You are part of the great I am. Scripture says, is there anything too hard for God? That's what Scripture says. And as soon as I say that, what Scripture says, is there anything too hard for God? Every God-fearing person is going to say, no, there isn't. So I'm here to tell you right now, if there's nothing too hard for God, there is nothing too hard for you. Understand, it is you. And I can say you, once you come to know yourself, you will know that when I say you, I'm referring to the God in you. And that's where we have a stumbling block at also, because when I say something to that nature, then you think I'm trying to move God out of the picture. But the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All things. Through that Holy Spirit. which resides in you. But we won't accept the fact that it's in us. We don't think that we're worthy enough, so we don't accept that fact. We got to call on somebody else. We got to call on Jesus. We got to call on Sister Teresa. We got to call on Mary Mag. We got to call on somebody else except us, because we don't feel that we're worthy. But when you come to know who you are and that God resides in you, and you are just a temple, this body is just a temple that houses the Spirit of God, so then you must know who you are. When you know who you are, then you can speak things into existence just as Jesus did at a moment's notice. If you look over your life right now, you'll see you have spoken things into existence. They just didn't come right at that moment. And sometime they did. And instead of you acknowledging that that's something that you did, you turn around and start looking for somebody else to give the credit to, because once again, you don't feel that you're worthy. I'm blessed to receive it, but I'm not in that position to be able to give it, to do it. And we've got it all wrong. Now, I know I said that what I was going to do is cut short to give people an opportunity if they wanted to ask a question or maybe even just share their experience. Now is the time. I'm going to stop and give you time to ask the question or say something that might be enlightening to all of us. We are all here trying to remember. And please understand, we're not here to learn anything. Because of who we are, we know everything. It's just remembering it. You are part of the body of God. That means you is here from the foundation of the world. So at this time, I promise I'm not going to say another word. I'm going to open the floor if someone wants to say something, ask a question, experience, whatever they want to do. But don't tarry.
I have a question. Hi, sorry. Good evening, everyone.
Good.
My question is, I have a very creative mind. So how do I learn to just be in the moment sometimes? Because sometimes I'm in the past, I'm in the future, and it's hard for me to just be in the moment.
Because, now, as you ask that question, I'm going to try to give you some guidance on it. But as I've said so many times, I'm just a vessel. But if you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, it's that God part. Have that conversation with yourself. But I think what part of the issue might be the fact that what you're doing is you're creative in the moment, but then you step right out of the moment and start to analyze it. And so then when you start analyzing, and that's what this podcast was about tonight, when you start analyzing stuff, what you're doing is you're slowing down the process. You're changing it. The spirit, your spirit, the soul within you has given you the answer. But that wasn't good enough for you. You think one of two things. That wasn't my soul talking to me. That was something else. And you're not listening. So now, what I mean by that, now you're starting to analyze again. And so when you start to analyze, whatever was just about to take place now has to hold up. Because the universe doesn't know what you want to do. Is that shedding some light on it for you?
Yes, it does. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's what we talked about it just a little while ago. Sometimes it's best that you be out of your mind. Because when you're out of your mind, the spirit can talk to you and your mind isn't going against what the spirit says. Because as the lesson stated, your mind is going over data that it's had your beautiful 52 years now here on Earth. That's the only data that your mind has. But your soul has the data of the beginning of the world. And so when I say remember, sometimes you've got to go into that meditation and bring it back to you. But I know I'm not the only one that at one point in time or another, there was a task to be done, and I don't know how in the world I got it done, but I got it done. I've done some things that I've never done before, but I got it done, and it worked, and, you know, it, the purpose was fulfilled. What was supposed to happen, happened.
Amen.
And if you ask me how I did it now, right now, I can't even tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to the soul is always going to tell you what is best for you. The soul, when you get, and the soul speaks to you through feelings. So when you get that feeling deep within your soul that, you know, I don't think I should do that, it would be best for you to be in the moment and listen to your soul. And if the soul say to do it, do it. Now, I know a lot of our family, our friends, our different might call you crazy. But it's okay because that's them. This is your life. And I tell you, if your soul tells you to do something, your soul knows what is best for you. And the first time anybody ever catch their soul lying to you, I'll be the first to tell you, they'll never listen to your soul again. But it just won't do it. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That soul is the so help you God part. Now, I'm still talking, so if somebody wanna, somebody had it, mm-hmm. anything else you want to present, anything else, I'll give you this time, just so that in case somebody don't know, I got nothing but preachers in my family, all right? So now I can keep going now. if somebody want to ask something, but it's important for us to know this. It's important for us to know this because I'll give you another example then. Unless someone has something to say. Do you think Moses was the only one that could depart the Red Sea? Or any sea? Well,
back
what we
in
have
the
to,
day, I would say yes to that question. Now I know better. But
okay.
That's what I was taught.
Okay.
Now I wouldn't say yes.
Because what we, and you're 100% correct, and what we have to know is technically it wasn't Moses. It was the God in Moses.
That's right.
And that same God.
I have a question about that, the word parted, the Red Sea. What does that really mean? He really, like, because sometimes I think they used words and we interpret them different. So that he actually.
A lot of times.
What does it mean when he parted the Red Sea?
All we can really do is go by what they left on record. And what they left on record was he separated so that they could walk through it. That's what they've got on record.
Okay. Right. So is that something like how man built tunnels to go from, you know, different parts, like from New York, from New Jersey to New York, you go under the Lincoln Tunnel that's underwater.
Well, yeah, but not in that text because they didn't mention anything about no bricks and mortar or nothing. What we have to understand is, once again, it was not Moses that did that. It was God that did it, and with God doing it, God controls this entire universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So with the fullness thereof, if God said for the water, running water, to stop, running water ain't got no choice but to stop. So using that story. Now, I'll be honestly truthful with you. I'm not so keen on it, but I'm not here to really to do that tonight. But even with regards to that story, what I get out of that story is not so much the parting of the Red Sea. What I get from that story is just demonstrating the awesomeness of God.
Yeah, that's what I get.
What it is that God can do. Yeah, they used the parting of the Red Sea, but it could have been a star falling from the sky. It could have been anything because it's God at work. And so what we have to understand is that that same God that was at work with Moses in the parting of the sea, he's right there for each and every one of us. We just have to believe. Jesus raised the dead. Do you think Jesus is the only one that raised the dead? And we know that technically Jesus didn't do it. Once again, that same God that was in Moses is that same God that is in Jesus. So right then and there, we've already found two people that he used. And we know that there's numerous others. And truth be told, if we really stop and stop being so hard on ourselves, he's used us from time to time. And the only reason why he hasn't used us more is because we don't believe we're worthy enough. How many times, and it might just be me, I don't know, but how many times have any of us seen someone and we just felt, just like that lady said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, just if I could just reach over there and touch that person, I might be able to help that person. But we didn't do it because we didn't believe that we really could. Even though the Spirit was telling you to, you didn't believe it. And this is what we battle with, not with flesh and blood, but principalities and stuff. But it's in our own mind. We try to make it as if it's some other dark world somewhere that's messing with us. It's us messing with ourselves. Is there anything too hard for God? If there is nothing too hard for God, you have to honestly understand that there is nothing too hard for you. And you've already proved it on numerous occasions. You can prove it on every occasion if you want, if you would just believe. I thank everyone for coming out tonight. It's almost time for this podcast to be over, but I had a great time tonight, and I pray that you will continue to come with your questions and hear. And what I like to do eventually is just turn it over so that one of the things that they say in the Christian church, and I say Christian because that's where a Baptist church is, what I've been brought up in and stuff, is they like to give testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And testimonies is telling about the goodness of God. And if you listen to the testimonies with the goodness of God, you'll see God at work through everybody, all kinds of people. Some Christians would look down on, even though God ain't got no respected person, but religion has respected people. But that's a whole another podcast. I love you all. Have a great evening, and I look forward to talking again on Sunday. Good night, everyone. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It was great.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.